What is it you wanted me to reconcile myself to? I was born here almost 60 years ago. I'm not going to live another 60 years. You always told me it takes time. It has taken my father's time, my mother's time, my uncle's time, my brother's and my sister's time, my niece's and my nephew's time. How much time do you want for your progress?
You probably know that voice, James Baldwin. Since his death in 1987, Baldwin's work continues to thrive and be shared. But no American filmmaker has attempted to adapt Baldwin's novels for the screen until Barry Jenkins.
For me, Baldwin represented kind of everything, you know, just the freedom with which he expressed himself was always something that was quite meaningful.
Baldwin just represented someone who wasn't afraid to speak the truth and speak the truth about his experiences and just owning his truth, owning his experiences, regardless of what anyone else had to say about it.
That's actress Kiki Layne, who stars in Barry Jenkins' adaptation of Baldwin's 1974 book, If Beale Street Could Talk. Jenkins is perhaps best known for his 2016 Oscar-winning film, Moonlight. Beale Street tells the story of Fonny, played by Stephan James, and Tish, who's played by Layne. And they're a black couple who are deeply in love, but separated by a false rape accusation. Ahead of the release of If Beale Street Could Talk, I sat down with Layne and Jenkins to discuss how they captured the love between Fonny and Tish for the film.
I haven't seen two young black people portrayed as soulmates like that. It just feels like from the beginning of time that it was always meant to be them. So I think that stood out to me a lot about Tish and Fonny's relationship.
And Barry, how did you get that level of intimacy between Tish and Fonny? How were you able to tap into something? Was it your own experiences with love? I mean, because you have this ability to really hit these emotional places that I think a lot of people don't know how to articulate, whether that's in words or on the screen.
Yeah, I don't think that's something that I kind of know how to create. You know, I think part of it is the text. You know, I think Baldwin created, you know, a pair of characters who very clearly jump off the page as soulmates. But then also, you know, Kiki and Stefan just really going to this place where the feeling you have in reading the text and reading the source material is the feeling you have in watching these two young people live out their lives. You know, we didn't do any chemistry reads on the previous film, but for Beale Street, we did do a chemistry read between Stefan and Kiki. And it was very clear to me that there was this connection. Because when you think of soulmates, you know, that's not verbal. You know, that's a feeling. And it just felt like these two people, they shared this feeling.
And I mean, was it an authentic feeling when you were doing, like they said, the chemistry read and everything else, Kiki? Like, was it something that you had to tell? You said you'd never seen that portrayed in media mm-hmm. before.
I think it was just me and Stefan just understood how important the love between these two characters was. It is the story. And so I think we were both committed to, you know, letting our walls down, being vulnerable and being open. And I think we recognized that in each other in the chemistry read of like, oh, this is somebody that is willing to play with me, is willing to go there, you know, with me, even though we don't know each other. And so I think that was where the strength came in our in me and Stefan building that relationship.
It also says a lot, I think, about the director and the rest of the film, if you're feeling that you can be vulnerable. That's a really difficult thing to be, even in acting, right?
Oh, yeah. Barry created such a safe environment for us to go there and to just dive in with each other. And I think that was just all the way around, not even just, you know, me and Stefan, just the whole cast, I think, could feel just this really safe place to just go there, because I mean, we have to in just so many different places in this film, just really just let it all out and just really be that vulnerable, be that open, be that emotional. And sometimes with the camera just right there, which really speaks to how safe of a, you know, place Barry made on the set to just be able to let it all hang out for the camera.
Barry, how do you do that?
I don't know, again, that I know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
I think you know a little bit about what you're doing.
I would say
a couple Oscars here and there, you know.
You know, for me, it's about working in the same way that we've always worked. You know, my closest collaborators are people I went to film school with. So we've been working together for, I don't know, like 18, almost 20 years now. And that creates, you walk on the set and the crew itself is kind of a family, you know. It just says to you, this is a safe space. And I think that you know, with these moments where the actor's looking directly to camera, that has to be the safest space because it's such an awkward, such an artificial thing to do, yet the whole point is to remove artifice from the performance. And so I think by creating a space, you know, where the actors feel comfortable, where the crew feels comfortable, you kind of like inspire, you engender, you know, this authenticity in the performance.
And, you know, there's a love story here, but there's a bigger issue here as well, which is really looking at incarceration, wrongful imprisonment, and racism in the criminal justice system, which is not, has not gone away.
Yeah.
And then you're also balancing that with this very delicate love story. So how did you, what was the calculation that you said, okay, we've got this really serious stuff, and we also have this love story. How do we balance those two out?
Yeah, you know, it was quite tricky. You know, it takes 20 hours to read the book, but only about 2 hours to watch the film. And so there needs to be, this idea of balance is even more important. You know, what I loved about the book for the first time was that there was this duality between the story of the romance between Tish and Fonny, you know, and the systemic injustice, you know, this thing, this taking to task, the judicial system, you know, the mass incarceration and all those things. But it's like, what's the film about? The film is about the characters, and the characters are in love. And so the whole point was to allow that love to drive the film, but to also pay due diligence to the circumstances of how the lives of Black folks can be taken so quickly, you know, by a faulty judicial system.
And in terms of the casting of the film, there's an interesting choice that you made when we talk about the issue of what's in the book versus what's in the film, specifically around colorism. Tell us a little bit about the choice that you made there.
Yeah, in the book, Stephon James's character, Fonny, is written to be purposely or intentionally lighter skinned than Tish and her family. And I think Mr. Baldwin was really digging into these issues of colorism and how it plays into status, how it plays into class, typically in the Black community, especially in the time that this book was set. And I wanted to honor the text, and we explored trying to very diligently, you know, honor this dynamic of colorism. But, you know, Stephon James just gave, you know, an amazing, amazing performance. And to be brutally honest, you know, typically the way this goes is that the character is written dark skin and cast light skin. And so it felt like in this situation, if we were going to go against the grain, that it would be kind of cool to go against the grain in this way and cast a light skin character dark skin. Now, the upshot of that is people come into the cinema and they see, you know, and we project this movie in IMAX, they see Kiki Layne and Stephon James, these two dark skinned Black people, just loving each other, as Kiki said, being soulmates. And I can't intellectually account for the feeling that places in certain people's hearts, but it's a damn good one.
I think it's extremely powerful, particularly, I mean, the issue of colorism is not new in Hollywood,
exactly.
And it's one that has gotten, you know, I think about the Nina Simone debacle. They did everything but cast somebody that looked like Nina Simone, right? And had the dark skin and the features that Nina had. And so I think it's an interesting choice that you made. Do you feel that way, Kiki? Do you think it matters, like, beyond just the love story here?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, to look the way that I look and I'm playing a romantic lead and I have this young man who is doing, you know, who loves me so hard. I mean, that's major for a dark-skinned actress with my hair texture.
Yeah, I was in Paris with the movie a couple weeks ago. And afterwards, in this, like, African-French organization co-hosted the screening, so we came back for the mixer afterwards, and these four Black women were just waiting to talk to me. So I went over and said, hey, what's going on? They didn't want to talk about the mass incarceration. They didn't want to talk about the love story. They wanted to talk about Kiki and her hair. And they were like, but her hair. I was like, yeah, it's her hair. They're like, but you didn't do anything to it. I was like, no, it's her hair. And they were just so shocked to see a lead like Kiki, and her hair is natural for basically the whole damn film. And I'm like, but that's her hair. You know, why would I do anything to her hair? But these things, these images don't reach us, you know, with the same frequency that other images reach us. And so when we see them, it's like,
right.
Oh my God.
Right.
I'm almost emotional listening to that story of being in Paris and what this means to you, because people of color, often, as we know, they get whitewashed out of film. We aren't represented, and when we are, we're often represented in some caricature of what we really are supposed to be. So it's It's a little intense to hear that. I literally have goosebumps. You know, Barry, you've got another project coming up, though. This isn't it, right?
No, I do.
Big project here for a little company called Amazon.
Mm-hmm. A little itty-bitty company.
We heard that they might be making some moves here in New York. And it's Colson Whitehead's novel, The Underground Railroad, which is gorgeously written. Is there anything you can tell us about that, or is it still too soon?
No, it's not too soon. I mean, we had a writer's room for the book, so we've written, you know, all these scripts and location scouting, all those things. I think the most clear thing I can say about it is, you know, it's a hero's journey. And I remember as a kid, you know, hearing about the Underground Railroad for the first time and really literally imagining choo-choo trains running underground. And so I think that reading Colson's book kind of reactivated that childhood kind of awe, you know, around just like the power, the ingenuity, you know, of Black folks to create this path to freedom. And I thought the best way to tell that was to go on the full hero's journey. And so I was really happy to partner with Amazon and find a place where we could tell this story over the course of 8, 9, 10 hours.
Are you excited? So it is going to be a long, it's going to be a series. It's not just a film, a 2-hour film, traditional 90-minute, no.
No, I felt like the best way to chart Cora's journey was to actually go on it with her and really be in it for the full duration of the ride.
And that's fascinating. And also the idea that, are you excited about the possibilities of digital distribution on this?
I am. You know, my first film, Medicine for Melancholy, I think digital distribution was a big part of that, working with IFC Films. And so I think in this case, too, there's a lot of dexterity involved, you know, in releasing something on a platform like Amazon, you know, whereas going into a cinema, you know, it's very clear and simple. You sit down with your popcorn for 2.5 hours and, you know by minute 90 or 100, the end is coming. Whereas I think telling something in this long form at Amazon, there are all these cool little clever things we can do. You know, there might be chapters, you know, that just spontaneously appear, you know, and I think that's a really cool thing you can do by really harnessing the tools of digital.
I'm excited about this. Kiki, this is your first major role. Mm-hmm. We're in a moment right now in Hollywood that, shall we say, has been challenging for race, but also thinking that this is going to change for the better. We're hoping Oscars won't be so white at some point. Is there any type of storytelling or narrative or role that you're looking for as you move into your next project?
Well, my next project is an adaptation of Native Son, and so that'll be out in 2019. And so I'm thankful that my first projects are Beale Street and Native Son, because I think that lets, I don't know, people in the industry know, you know, the type of work that I am interested in and stories that I'm not afraid to tell. But in terms of what I want my career to look like, I just wanted to have a lot of variety. Like, the fun of acting is just being able to play in all these different types of worlds, and so I want to be able to tackle roles that have historically just haven't gone to actresses that look like me. Yeah, and I just want to do it all.
And do you think that we're moving in that direction? Barry, do you feel like we're moving in a place where we can, you know, where Kiki can take on some other role that would traditionally, you know, never have cast a woman of color, much less a Black woman?
There is a movie with basically an all-Black cast, 95% Black cast, that grossed $1.7 billion this year. Mm-hmm. A little movie called Black Panther.
Heard of it. Saw it.
And so I think, you know, I'm trying to find the clearest, most succinct way to say yes.
Well, Barry Jenkins, director of If Beale Street Could Talk, and Kiki Lane, who is Tish in the film, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.